Stoveleg Media, igniting conversation.
Welcome to True Crime to Go. What can I get for you?
I need a puzzle. I need a puzzle to solve, and I need you to make it for me. Can you do that?
Pull up to the second window, and we'll see you next crime.
Welcome to True Crime to Go. I am John, here with Jamie. A puzzle, eh?
Puzzles.
Do you remember that time we did like the murder mystery, like case file review where we had to solve a crime? Is that what you're talking about?
No, this is more of a cipher situation. So
codes. Well, we have a true crime story for you in 10 minutes or less. And this one sounds too intriguing. So why don't you get the ball rolling?
What if the key to solving a murder, John, was hidden in plain sight? We're going to talk about a message that's written in code and tucked away inside the victim's pocket. And it's something so cryptic that the FBI's top code breakers haven't been able to decipher it for more than 2 decades.
That is insane, and I've never heard of this one. Today, we're going to be going back to the death and maybe one of the most perplexing unsolved cases in modern history. But we're going to go back to 1999 to do so. And that's when we find the death, maybe murder, of Ricky McCormick. It's a case that starts with a dead man found in Missouri in a cornfield and leads straight into the seemingly unbreakable cipher. A cipher that has puzzled professional and amateur cryptographers, which I didn't know was a thing. That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And it's been baffling for years. So what's going on here, Jamie? What is this code? What is this message? And is it from a killer?
Yeah, Ricky wasn't the kind of guy that you would expect to come up in an FBI case, let alone a decades-long mystery. He was born in 1958, grew up with a tough life, struggled in school, ended up dropping out, and was barely able to read or write, which is important here. His family said he could barely spell his own name, let alone come up with a complicated cipher unable to be solved.
I don't want to be disrespectful, but I mean, with that in mind, is it possible that he died with his shopping list that just doesn't make sense to us?
Oh man, that's messed up.
I'm not trying to be messed up. I'm legitimately asking, like, are these letters or are they like Zodiac killer, like,
yeah,
symbols?
It's like symbols.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Despite his struggles, he was very resourceful. He worked odd jobs, he worked mostly graveyard shifts, and relied on disability payments because he had chronic heart issues. He lived a quiet life, at least that's what most people thought. But as we now know, Ricky may have been involved in something much more dangerous and maybe wasn't as low-key as people thought.
Yeah, and a lot of it just has to be the people that he was associated with. He worked at an Amoco gas station in downtown St. Louis, and it was run by 2 Palestinian brothers, Yuma and Baha Hamdallah. And let's just say those 2 guys weren't the kind of guys that you wanted to owe money to, if you know what I mean.
Right. They both had reputations for violence, and while it was never officially confirmed, it's widely believed that Ricky was involved in some kind of drug smuggling operation for them. Is it possible they were using him to be kind of their runner to keep them out of it? That's kind of what I'm thinking is going on. His girlfriend later told police that he made frequent trips to Florida on their behalf. And in the days leading up to his death, he was acting strange.
Between June 22nd and the 25th, he went to the emergency room 2 different times. First, he was admitted for chest pains. Then, after being discharged, he tried again, this time complaining of shortness of breath. Hospital staff ended up turning him away. They couldn't verify any of his symptoms or find any underlying issues. But it wasn't just his physical health that seemed off. He was very anxious, almost paranoid, like he knew something was about to happen and he was trying to get checked into a hospital to get away from it.
I mean, he had heart issues, right? So this seems like it checks out, but they send him away because they think it's more mental health. So like panic attack kind of things.
Right.
Okay. Well, then what happened next?
And then Ricky just up and vanished.
Yeah, nobody reported him missing. Nobody even realized he was gone. And it wasn't until June 30th of 1999 that his decomposing body was found in a cornfield 20 miles away from where he lived and worked. And that's when things get even more weird. How is that possible?
Right. So let's talk about the body itself. Ricky had been dead for days, so there was some decomposition, and the medical examiner couldn't even determine a cause of death. There were no gunshot wounds, no obvious signs of blunt force trauma or stabbing. Officially, his death certificate is classified as undetermined, but that's when we find the notes.
Yeah, it was two pages of handwritten messages, and this was not just scribbles or nonsense. These were full pages of coded text. There were letters, numbers, and symbols arranged in a way that suggested a sophisticated cipher. So no, it was not just buy bananas and toilet paper.
No, and I mean, we just recently, somebody recently just deciphered one of the Zodiac notes. So this is something that's constantly gotten attention. The FBI sent it to their best cryptographers, and you'd think with all their experience and all the, especially the technology we have today, has anybody plugged this into ChatGPT? They were unable to crack this code, and given they've had a lot of success in wartime and with terrorists, but they couldn't crack this one.
I was literally looking this up to take a screenshot to enter it into an AI platform to see what it could do. Shot. Now, to this day, the Ricky McCormick cipher remains one of the FBI's top unsolved cases.
Yeah. In 2011, more than a decade after Ricky's death, the FBI made a bold move, and that's when they released this note to the public. So maybe amateur code breakers or people out there on the dark web could come and help figure this out. But as of today, John, we haven't figured this out. Obviously, the oddities here are his associates, the hospital visits, and then, of course, the note. So was this a drug deal that went wrong?
Yeah, I don't know, man.
And if it was, why on earth would there be a cipher code?
The cipher is so intriguing. I mean, why, if it goes back to the two guys that we were talking about drug running, you wouldn't think they would drug runners would leave a ciphered note. It's odd. Now, some theories have started pouring in. There are people who have looked at this code and say that it contains hospital terminology, which could relate to his recent ER visits. I don't know. There are others that say these were medication reminders, like a way to remind you to take your meds. Again, I don't know. One person even suggested that the name Seth appears multiple times in the text. But there's another more sinister theory that the notes contained instructions for a drug deal. If that's the case, then it does kind of tie back to those guys he was potentially working with.
It could, but if he can't barely write his name, then what's he doing? Like, how's he going to figure this cipher out if it's for him? Maybe it's a code for somebody else to get in a safe deposit box or something like that. So I don't know. I actually, while you were talking, put this into ChatGPT, and it says that this is pretty heavily encoded, and it does pull out like some commonalities, but no
take
answer
drugs
yet.
To Florida or me and my brother kill you.
Yeah,
is that what it pulled up?
No.
Okay. Well, crap. I mean, do you think that enough manpower is going to be used to try to crack this code? And once it's cracked, I mean, do you think the key to this murder lies within? I mean, I don't think it's going to say, I killed this man, here's where I'm at, you know?
Yeah, I think it's probably going to lead to a lot of other questions. So I don't think that we are going to, that this cipher contains the answer to the murder, but I think it contains the questions that you have to ask to answer the murder.
All right, Jamie, this was a good one, and if there are any updates, we will be sure to keep you posted over on Patreon, but appreciate you guys listening today.
Yep, we appreciate you. This has been another crime story in 10 minutes or less.
Would you like crime with that?
You've listened to True Crime Cast, distributed by Stoveleg Media. Check out Stoveleg.com to find out more about your hosts and to find other podcasts to listen to. Stoveleg Media, igniting conversation.